Well, the word's good. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Exodus chapter 15. We're thankful for the word.
Amen.
Amen. You know, you don't have to feel like sitting there, and you don't have to feel like being here, and you don't have to love this part of service, but your spirit, just by faith, you do. Amen?
Amen.
And you are, because you're here. Praise God. And why I say that is don't beat yourself up if your mind wants to be in other places or your flesh. You're doing what's right for your spirit. Praise God.
Praise God.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We're just so grateful for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you'll continue to do. And Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we could just stay here for hours just proclaiming your goodness, and it wouldn't be enough. And we're just thankful for the word tonight. It is our help. It is our GPS under the things that you want us to experience in this life. And so thank you, Father. We give you the praise and glory. And Lord, I just thank you for these precious, wonderful children of yours, Lord, who maybe have worked a long shift. Maybe they still have to work tonight. Maybe they're going in early tomorrow. But they're here to hear your word. And Father, you said the hungry ones will be blessed and filled. So I thank you they walk out of here changed. I thank you they walk out of here better. Father, say something through my voice that will strike a chord, hit bullseyes in their heart. And Father, I thank you we go from glory to glory. And Father, I thank you for where we're headed. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jake, I'm ringing just a little bit up here. There's a little bit of feedback. Praise God. Well, we started last Wednesday a series on healing, didn't we? And healing is something that you should be meditating in all the time. Just the same way with faith, because it's important that we become sold out to God's way on the subject of healing. Not only because that's His will for your life, you know, you ought to want what God provided for you.
Amen.
Because the price was not low.
That's right.
What He provided for you was high. And so you ought to want to walk into those things. You know, it'd be a shame for somebody to buy you a wonderful gift and you not take advantage. You know, can you imagine if someone, bought you a trip and you just didn't use it, or bought you a gift that was just, you know, wonderful and you didn't use it? It would be a shame. It'd be a shame if we didn't walk into healing, since God's provided it for us. And we're His children. We should want what Dad gives us. But also, we ought to become sold out to it, because we will not fulfill what God has for us in the body of Christ as a sick church. You know, sick people don't get to do a whole lot. You know, I've been sick before and I didn't do a whole lot. And it's the same way with the body of Christ. We ought not to be the broken down ones. We ought not to be the ones that are going through physical trial after physical trial. And so the way we're going to walk into our divine healing, keep our divine healing, and live the majority of our life that way is by getting our minds renewed to the Word, getting our minds renewed to God's will, and becoming sold out and settled on the fact of what God has said about healing. And the only way you'll do that is by hearing it over and over and over again. And so let's hear it over and over and over again. What we saw last week in Exodus 15, 26, he says here, and we'll pull it up here, Exodus 15, 26, says, and he said, if you'll diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, we'll do that which is right in his sight. We'll give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought, should say, which I have allowed upon the Egyptians. He said, for I am. I am. Well, what's good about I am is he always is, because he doesn't change. So he's saying to the world eternally through this verse that I am the Lord that healeth thee, or healeth you. That word there, healeth, is the word Rapha. When he says I am the Lord, that means Jehovah. He's saying I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals you, mends you, who thoroughly makes you whole. He's the great physician. Hallelujah. He's the great physician. Praise his holy name forevermore. So he declares once and for all. We don't even need to look at any more verses to know that our God's in the healing business. That's what he is, and that's what he wants to do. Hallelujah. But, you know, the body of Christ and the world thinks that God's the sickness giver. I mean, you hear it all the time. I was at a concert one time at St. Bonaventure, and the men, you'd know who they were if I told you. They're a very popular Christian band. People just love them, and they have some good songs. They have a lot of doubt and unbelief, too. You know, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Chew the hay and spit out the sticks.
Oh, that's good.
Amen. Yeah. Chew the hay. There's some things with some groups and Christian, you know, preachers even, and you know, I guess we're just going to have to get on some rabbit trails, because it's just one of those things where people Wednesdays are different like that, but you know, I'm very careful who I listen to preach. Very selective of what my diet is when it comes to preaching. You know, I heard this one time from a trainer. They said the people that can get in the best shape and get the most healthy, they're the ones that really don't mind eating a lot of the same things over and over and over and over again. You know, the same healthy foods over and over, but they get strong and they get lean and they get healthy, right? They might not be able to sample the buffet and everything on it, but and I remember hearing that, man, that's the same way it is spiritually. You can't have all sorts of different people saying something to you. It's going to confuse your palate.
That's good. That's right.
Amen. And I say that because if you want to know who you should be listening to the majority of, ask me and I'll tell you. Amen. I'll tell you who you ought to feed from. And, you know, I'm amazed at some of the people that people say they do feed on, not necessarily people in this church, just in the body of Christ. And I think, my goodness, do you not listen to what they're saying? Because I don't know what church you go to, but it must not be mine. Praise the Lord. And so, anyways, this, you need to listen, same thing with music and stuff. Just because it's a Christian radio station, just because they say Christianity, listen to what the words say. Because the words are what bring the faith, not the label of the band. But anyways, they were a band, and they were 10,000 people there. And a guy got up and said, you know what? God has a sense of humor. I said, this ought to be good. He said, he gave me ADD, attention deficit disorder. Thought it was funny. And he went on to tell about that sickness, and I'm not making light of, you know, people that have been diagnosed with that. But he said God gave it to him. Well, that's contradictory to what the word says. He says, I'm the Lord that healeth you, not the Lord that makes you sick. But see, that's what most people think. You'll hear people die of a disease. Well, God took them. Well, no, God didn't take them. God welcomed them in when they die, but God didn't take them. Acts 10:38, if we could pull that up. Praise God. God's the healer, ladies and gentlemen. Acts 10:38. Praise God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good. I don't know about you, but if I had the ability, you know, I remember hearing a story of a lady, for money purposes, she was making her child sick with certain medicine that would make her very sleepy, very weak. She shaved her daughter's head, even went to put bandages on her to make it look like we're different ports were going in for cancer treatment. Told everyone in the community she had cancer, making her daughter weak and sick. Why? So they would have benefits for her and make money. Well, when that came to light of the mom making the child sick, she wasn't celebrated. You know, I remember hearing, and if you've lost a child, you know, I don't know what that's like, and I'm not here to, you know, to tell you how you should or shouldn't feel, but you should feel in line with the word. A lot of people think God takes their children from them. And I remember hearing a song by a Christian singer who, you'd know her too if I told you, and she said her friends lost a baby and she wrote the song. Well, the whole song's about how God took the child from them. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have an awful hard time worshiping a God that's going to do that to me. And love him. And I don't know about you, but that's a twisted thinking of good. Yeah. Jesus went about doing good. Right? Praise God. But I'm telling you, it's out there. This is the thinking in the body of Christ that God's doing everything. God's up to the same things. And I wonder if God's sending the storms and God's causing people to die in car accidents and God's taking children, what's the devil doing?
Yeah, come on.
And if you tell me the devil's doing the same, well, then you're telling me that the devil and God are in cahoots, and that just ain't true. They are the exact opposite of one another. Amen? God's the healer. Went about doing good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The Bible right there tells us who does the oppressing with sickness. It's the devil.
Yeah.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you in the back of your mind think God's a part of sickness at all, you'll never have the faith it takes to get past that thing.
Right.
If you think God wants you to stay where you're at and stay in that situation, you'll never get to your healing if in the back of your mind. I'll tell you what, let's just put it this way. If God's in the sickness business, they better shut down every single hospital around the world because they're all out of the will of God.
Yeah.
Because what do hospitals do? They try to make people better. They better get rid of all the medicine. They better get rid of all the doctors because they're all out of the will of God. It's stupid. That's what it is. It's stupid. So God's a healer. He says so. We see it in Jesus, don't we? We see that the Bible says that Jesus was the manifestation of God on the earth. If you're ever confused at who your father is, read the Gospels.
Amen.
Read all those red parts in your Bible. That's who Jesus is. That's who God is. God is Jesus. God became a man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
God became a man and dwelt among us so we could exactly see who he is. The world forever is, God's not a big mystery. Oh, it's just so hard to know him. No, it's not. Look at Jesus. God said, here I am for 3.5 years. I'll show you who God is.
Yeah.
I'll show you exactly how he talks. I'll show you how he thinks. I'll show you what he does. I'll show you what he wants for the world. Praise God. Well, I see Jesus healing. I never saw him make one person sick. I never saw him turn away one person. He was loving and merciful and kind and a healer. Why? That's who God was. Praise God. Amen. So God's a healer. You got to get that settled. Are you ready to go on to better things tonight? Because we go from glory to glory. Go to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Oh, man of life. God is good.
Amen.
I've determined to just live in healing. It's better than sickness. I enjoy it much more. Do you? Yeah. You know, that woman that did that, she was called a child abuser. But yet God gave me ADD. Yay! Basically, you're saying, my dad's a child abuser. Oh, let's sing a song about how the Lord took this baby. It's so wonderful. Oh, my daddy. Oh, my child abusing daddy. Because any parent that would kill a child would be put in jail for the rest of their life as a child abuser. But God, oh, wrong thinking. Devil loves to get people thinking that way. And praise God, it's just the truth. So Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Well, this has been an interesting start so far. Who knows where we'll end up. But now hath he obtained. Everybody say now. You know what now is? It's right, we're here, we're there. This verse is talking about us, like we are there. Why? Because it's now. But now, he, Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is a mediator. Oh, I like this next part. Of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. He says, now the covenant is better and it has better promises than what was before he came. Well, we have something easy to compare better to. Unless you're thinking different than I am and I'm missing something, this sanctuary is way better than the other one. It's prettier, right? It's bigger. It's got nice lights and more space. Praise God. I don't even know how we had church in that. Don't you feel that way when you go over there and eat cookies? We had church in here? What? Praise the Lord, but we could say what? This is better than that, right? Praise God. Now, you know better. I'm not trying to dumb this down that much, but that word better means to improve upon or surpass. Jesus is saying what I've done now is improving upon or surpassing what they had in the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's right.
Praise God. So the position that we are in now is way better.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So in a few minutes, we're going to look at some things from what they had back then. Because here's the awesome thing, ladies and gentlemen. If we can find some good things about what they had, we can say, I can have at least that because I've been given better. I don't go backwards. I surpass it. That's what the word better means, to surpass it. So we're going to look at that, to improve upon or surpass it. And we're going to look at that. But one way, before we even look at the Old Testament, because he said there was promises back then, there was a covenant back then, but it's better now. And before we even look at that, I want to show you how we have it much better than they ever had it. Go with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Romans 8 and verse 11. Praise God. He's good, isn't he? Caleb led worship in the nursery tonight with a guitar that's out-of-tuned, and he doesn't play chords. He just stands there and strums it, but he was so excited. Praise the Lord. Just in there in there going after it. Praise God. When we started children's church, he thought he was going to be the one that was preaching it. I said, no, you're not. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Whatever. The Bible says in the book of John that when we receive Jesus, that the Spirit of God comes in on the inside of us. One way that we are so much different than them in the past is that God was in the temple behind the veil. That's where God dwelled, you know, the Ark of the Covenant. He was in a box. Well, when Jesus hung on the cross and said, "It is finished," that veil that was, you know, and only certain people could get to the presence of God a certain times of the year. And if you messed up, they'd go in with a rope around them. And if they did something wrong in the presence of God, they dropped dead, and they didn't come out. Like, well, better fish them out. Drag them out. Well, and only certain people could go in that presence. Well, that's the major difference between us and the Old Testament is God came out of a box, out of a temple, and moved into people.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost is one part of God, and he moved into you. Well, that's an amazing thing that nobody in history had ever experienced before Jesus died and rose again. When you accept him, God said, "Ooh, I want to live in you. That's a nice place to go."
Amen.
Praise God. But look at verse 11. It says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you." Well, does it?
Amen.
Yeah. He said, dwells in you. "He that raised up Christ from the dead," now notice this, "shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." Now I'm going to pull up my little fancy Bible thing here and go to the Hebrew in that, or the Greek in that, and show you exactly what that word quicken means. You say quicken. When I was younger, I had braces on my legs. I got out of bed one morning in kindergarten and I fell on the floor and couldn't walk. Well, they found out I had a hip disease called Perthes disease, which was a deterioration of the hip. So they hooked me up to some machine in Buffalo Children's Hospital. That was my first encounter with Amish people, because I had all these toys brought to me at the hospital, and the Amish child next to me had never seen He-Man before. Remember He-Man and Grayskull? And he flipped out. I mean, that was just something they'd never seen. But then after a while, he ended up playing with them and having a good time. His parents let him. But anyways, they hooked me up to a machine that would slowly drag me down the bed, and I'd have to push myself up to strengthen my hip. And then I got out, and they put braces on my legs, and then I had crutches. But when they took the braces off and I was completely healed, I was always the fastest one on my baseball teams and in school, and my nickname was Wheels. So it talks about making you quick here. You might think, "Ooh, I'm gonna run faster." No, that's not what it's talking about. He says that it'll quicken your mortal bodies. That word quicken means this: to make alive, to invigorate, to restore to life. Now notice this: to give increase of the physical life, praise God, endued with new and greater powers in life. It's talking about your mortal body being made alive when the Spirit of God comes on the inside of you. Well, made alive is the opposite of being sick.
That's right.
Or invigorated, Well, I love what it says here, endued with new and greater powers. That doesn't sound like sickness to me. That's what it says about when the Spirit of God comes into you. So you have something on the inside of you. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is what you have to understand. What do you do with medicine, right? You take medicine by your mouth most of the time, or you get it injected in you. But it goes inside you. And when it gets inside you, that's when it starts working, right? Well, remember, ladies and gentlemen, God said, "I am Jehovah Rapha. I am your medicine. I am your healer. And when you get born again, I'm going to go right inside you as the healer, as any other medicine would, and I'm going to stay there." Praise God. Hallelujah. You always have the healer or the healing power inside you that has the ability to quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. It's always there. Now, you might say to yourself, "Well, then why in the world do Christians get sick? Well, because we know that even though it's in there, it still takes faith to receive. Well, you can't have faith for something that you don't know about. You can't access something you don't know about. Let me give you an example. I remember going out to eat. I usually never carry cash with me. I always carry credit cards. I just don't like to have, I don't carry a wallet. Actually, what I do is I have my license and a couple of credit cards and like two other cards, and I wrap them in a hair tie and I just take it with me. I don't want to carry cash. I don't want a big fat wallet. I just don't like that stuff. And so usually I don't have cash. And I remember going to a restaurant one time where I was going to be the one buying. I asked someone to go with me and got there and realized, oh man, they don't take credit cards. I said, I don't have any money. You're going to have to pay. Well, they did, no problem. But when I got back in the truck, I remembered that in my center console, I did have money in there. Well, that taught me a valuable lesson that it doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what you have. It matters that you know what you have. Because you have the healer. I mean, he tells you right there. He said, I got the ability. What's in you took a dead man, raised him up, and sat him on my right hand. The same spirit that raised Jesus up dwells in you. There's nothing more sick and broken and hurt than dead. He said, I took dead, made it alive, and he forever sits at the right hand. He said, that's what's in you. But why don't everybody walk in healing? Because it doesn't matter that you have it. Who cares that you have it? It doesn't matter that I had that money in that vehicle. It wasn't until I knew I had it that I could take advantage of it. It's not what you have. It's what you know that you have. And if people would start getting the revelation of the healer on the inside of them, they'll start reaching for things. They'll start believing for things. When things show up, boy, they'll have a lot more faith because your response is everything. But when you start realizing, I got the healer on the inside of me, I'm already medicined up, man. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what you have. It matters what you know what you have. So now, we're going to go to the Old Testament. Now, this part might get a little teachy. But if you'll keep in mind, when I say teachy, that's kind of, you know, there's preachy and there's teachy, and I usually fall on the side of preachy. So we'll probably end up getting into preachy because I'm just not much of a teacher. I don't have that strong of a gift, teaching gift, at least not that I'm aware of. And so we'll see what happens. We might delve over into preachy because that's just, preacher's got to preach. But some of this might be teachy, but this is what I want you to keep in mind as we look at this. Remember, everything that I'm going to show you is Old Testament, which means you have it better than them. That means everything I show you, you can at least have that. Amen? So, and you know, I know this, that I remember being that first job I got, the after-school job. You know, I never knew what it was like to get vacation time I didn't stick around long enough to accrue anywhere, but, you know, or sick time or, benefits and stuff. I just never had a job like that up until that point. And so I remember sitting in the interview when they finally told me the job was mine, and sitting there, and all of a sudden hearing about all the benefits. Well, you know, I didn't need somebody to be hopping around, face red, veins popping out of their neck, screaming at me to get excited about what was being told to me. Yeah. What am I saying? That if it is teachy, this part, you don't need me to be screaming my brains off at you, hopping up and down like an idiot, veins popping out of my neck, shouting at you, spit flying everywhere, to be excited about this. They just sat there in a mild manner and said, you have this much vacation. You have, this is the benefits. This is when you're going to get a raise. This is that. This, I'm like, man, they just tell me as monotone as you want. I receive. Right? It didn't make it any different. I'm not saying it's going to be monotone, but I'm just saying it might get a little teachy going through some things. But we already saw in Exodus 15:26, he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He told the people of the Old Testament, I'm your healer. I'm your answer to sickness. Hallelujah. Go to Exodus 23:25. We'll just pop through some of these things. Exodus 23:25. Why? We need you to understand you have a better covenant now, established upon better promises. That means you can have what they had and more. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, if I do something for somebody else's child, and Caleb's around, he knows he's at least getting that. Why? I got more invested in him than any other child. Praise God. If I can see what he did for these people that weren't even children, oh, Lord Jesus, what's he going to do for me who's his child? Exodus 23:25, he says, and you shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and your water. And I will. Oh, I will. I will. I want to. It's a purpose of my will. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. I will take it away, not give it to you. I'll take it away from you. Praise God. That's what you have on the inside of you. Numbers chapter 21. Again, we're just going through this, showing you the things they had in the Old Testament because you can have better. Numbers 21. And I believe we're going to go to verse 4. It says, and they journeyed from the Mount Or, by the way, now that's the children of Israel, by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people is much discouraged because of the way. Oh, they just can't stop complaining, can they? Just can't stop complaining. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore you have brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord set fiery serpents, of course we know that's sowing and reaping, came because of their sin. God didn't have any desire to do this. Among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Wow, that's amazing. It wasn't just God that brought the judgment, it was when they spoke against their leader that brought judgment. You say, oh, pastor, you're just trying to get us to talk nice about you. No, I'm just trying to keep you healthy. Just trying to keep you blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, take that for what you will. That's just what the word says. It said, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Now the Lord said this to Moses. God's idea, remember? Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass up on the pole, he lived. So God's idea was healing them of the serpents. Now, one thing that's neat to understand is this is a type and shadow. The Old Testament is darkness, the New Testament is light. For you Bible scholar type people that are interested in that kind of stuff, we never interpret the New Testament with the Old Testament. The Old Testament's darkness. We always interpret the Old Testament by the New Testament because the New Testament, the veil has been removed. There's light shining right down on it. Well, this is a type and shadow. Type and shadow of who? Jesus. Because the Bible said when they lifted up the serpent, the fiery serpent on the pole, if you look on that, you'd live. Well, it's the same with Jesus. You look at him up on the cross, you'll live. Yeah, the Bible says if you'll that for this cause, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for this cause, many are weak, sick, and sleep among you. See the progression? You get weak, you fall into sickness, and then you die. Yeah. That's the progression. He said, for this cause, what cause? Not discerning the body of Christ. That's what it goes on to say. What does it mean, discerning the body of Christ? Not discerning him up on that tree and all the sicknesses being put on him. The Bible says in Matthew 8 that he himself bore all our infirmities and took our sicknesses. If you don't discern that, you won't receive it. Amen. And he said, look upon the pole, you'll live. Well, it's type and shadow of Jesus. Amen. If you look on it, you'll be saved. Hallelujah. You know the ark. Noah's ark was a type and shadow of Jesus. Saved. The ark saved people. Praise God. That's the way the Old Testament is, types and shadows. So he says, I'll give you a way to be healed. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. I'm not going to look at the whole chapter. But this is talking about, we'll look at verse 1 and 2. Remember, these are Old Testament people that Jesus never died for. And God said, yeah, healing. You know Bible scholars who stand in churches that don't believe divine healings for this time anymore will tell you, as serious as can be, yeah, the Old Testament covenant included a covenant of bodily healing. They'll tell you that. Because it's all over the place. It's undeniable that the Old Testament saints, the Old Testament Israelites, the people of God, had access to healing in their body. Why in the world do we think we would have it any less than them, especially when the Bible says it's better? Am I missing something? I mean, common sense tells you If they had it, why in the world wouldn't we have it? Why would God come inside of us to give us less? I'm so confused. Seriously, it confuses me. But they'll fight you tooth and nail on it. I'm telling you. I know ministers that will fight you, churches that congregation just fight you. Oh no, God, there's no healing today. Healing's been done away with. You know, if somebody gets healed, that was just by the grace and mercy of God. Well, the grace and mercy of God is the fact that He is a healer.
Right.
He's always been a healer because He said, "I am," and He never changes.
That's right.
That's the grace and mercy of God. I mean, what Bible are they reading? I'm not even being sarcastic. I want to know. I want to get a copy. I want to see what in the heck they're reading, because I see something different in my Bible. But Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it says, "It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the Lord, the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all His commands, for I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth." Now notice verse 2. "And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you." I want healing to overtake me.
Amen.
You know what that means? That you're just healed all the time.
That's right.
That sickness doesn't have any place in you.
Praise God.
Well, I'm going to go to certain verses. Go to verse 4. This is promised to the Old Testament people. "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body." Do you see that? The fruit of your body. Go to verse 6. "Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out." Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not blessed coming in and going out if I'm sick.
Yeah, right.
Only way you can say He's blessed going in and out is if He's healed.
Okay.
Verse 11. "And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods." Oh, I guess stuff isn't bad. I said, I guess stuff isn't bad.
Amen.
The Lord will make you have stuff, is what that word is saying.
Praise you, Father.
He just doesn't want stuff to have you.
Right.
"Make you plenteous goods in the fruit of your body." Praise God. Go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. You know, we don't even have time to look at all the places in the Old Testament. I'm just going to some of the highlights. You know, we could look at how different people, individuals were healed because of God's goodness. How different people that were barren and couldn't have children, God healed them that way. I mean, there's so many things we could look at, but we're just hitting the highlights because we're going to see that, wow, they had it pretty good back then when it came to healing. Psalm 91 in verse 3 says, "Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Well, pestilence is sickness, disease. Go to verse 6. "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness," before it says you won't be afraid of this. So he's saying you won't be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness, "nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday." Well, sickness is a destroyer.
That's right. Yeah.
It is. Verse 10. "The days of our years," that's not what I want. Get in the right chapter. "There shall no evil befall you." Know this. "Neither any plague." What's that? Sickness. "No plague come near your dwelling." That was promised to them.
Yeah, praise God.
"No plague come near your dwelling." Hallelujah. Verse 16. It's nobody in here. It's not even anybody that goes to this church. So I don't want anybody to think. But I have somebody in my life. All the time they tell me, I say, "I'll see ya." Just tell them a certain time I'll see ya. "Oh, well, Lord willing, you will." I said, "Well, the Lord's willing, so I'll see you." "Well, if Lord's willing," they'll say to me, "well, that might be your faith for your own life, but when I tell you I'm going to see you next week, I'm going to see you next week because of this verse right here."
Amen.
"Oh, Pastor Mike, you can't preach this stuff because you just never know." That's the garbage, watered-down stuff the devil wants you to believe. Why don't we just believe God for His word? He said, "With long life, I'll satisfy Him and show Him my salvation." I love what Brother Hagin used to say. He'd say, "If you hear that I'm gone, you'll know I was satisfied, because I'm not going until I'm satisfied," because that's what that verse says.
Amen.
"With long life, I'll satisfy." Yeah, but so-and-so died young. I don't know why so-and-so died young. I just know there's Psalm 91:16.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
God. Long life. What is, you know what? A long life of sickness and disease is not satisfying. What's he saying? You can live long and be whole.
Right.
Live long and be healthy. Say, "Well, that's not what's happened." I know, dummy. That's why I'm preaching it.
Yeah.
To get you to have it.
Yeah, praise God.
That's what I'm doing. Praise the Lord. We're answering that thought the devil's giving. You're not the dummy. But that's the thought the devil's giving you. Well, I've never had that. Well, I've never lived it my whole life. It's been just sickness and disease. Well, let's stop it. Let's reverse it. Let's change course. With long life, I will satisfy. Oh, man, I just don't know. I just might, you know, you just never know. You might walk across the street and get hit. Well, not me. Not until I'm satisfied. I'm not getting flat until I'm satisfied. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I should preach a whole sermon on this someday, and maybe I will. You know that you can die in faith?
Come on.
Yeah. We're told to do everything by faith. You can die in faith.
Yeah.
Paul said this. He said, oh, this will really ruffle your religious feathers. But he said it. He said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. He said, for me to die, to go to be with Christ would be far better. So those of you that have family members and friends and close whatever in your life that have died and gone to heaven, do not feel bad for them. They have it a bazillion times better than you do. Because their heaven on earth is never tested. Their heaven on earth is never challenged. And so he said it's far better. To depart and be with Christ is far better. So when I think about people that have died, and I don't sit around and feel bad, miss them, but man, I'm happy for them, right? Praise God. But he said, to stay here is more needful for you. He said, what shall I choose?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, where is it? Because if you don't see it, you're not going to believe me. I believe it's in Philippians. Oh, we'll find it. Okay, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. See, we think, oh gosh, I got to die some miserable death and suffer. No, 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 you don't. You can die in faith, praise God. Look what he says, for me to live is Christ, Philippians 1 and verse 21. To die is gain, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what shall I choose? What's the choice? Between living or dying? He says, the choice is up to me. When I die is when I choose it. Why? When's he going to die? When he's satisfied. If anybody knew the Old Testament, it was Paul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. They needed to know the Old Testament. He knew that the Old Testament promised him long life. So he's saying, I'll choose when I die. When I'm satisfied, then I'll check out.
Yeah. Wow, that's good.
Praise God. What shall I choose? He's saying, death is up to me.
Yeah.
That's what a faith person says.
Wow.
And Brother Hagin used to always say, and you know what he used to always say? He'd say, the way I want to go is I want to get up in the morning. And I want to eat, I think the breakfast that he always eat would be strawberries and he'd have some ice cream with it. He's like, I want to eat my strawberries and my ice cream. I want to sit there with a smile on my face and I want to die. And you know how he died? Eating breakfast in the morning and strawberries and ice cream and then boop, on the floor, gone, sayonara, see you later. He was satisfied. He said that's how he wanted to die and that's exactly how he died. His wife said he was eating, he looked up at her, smiled at her, and boop, on the floor. See, it looks violent in the natural, but his spirit, man's gone. You know, don't be fooled by what the natural looks like. Oh, man, that's really not graceful to go clonking on the floor. It wasn't him. That wasn't him. He had zoop, elevator ride to the top. Here we go.
Hallelujah.
He said that for years. That's how I want to die. And when you hear that I'm gone, you'll know that I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
Eating my strawberries and ice cream, smiled at his wife and checked out. Praise God. Some of you are sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, whatever. Well, you can die that way in suffering and pain. I'm not going to. I don't believe I'll see a natural death anyways. I believe Jesus will come back, but we'll see. And if I'm wrong, then tell me I'm wrong in heaven. I'll say, I don't care, I'm here.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Hallelujah.
With long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. Psalm 92 and verse 13. Stop with the doubt and unbelief of what if, what if, what if. What if the Bible was true? You ever thought of that one?
Wow.
I mean, that's... I mean, now that's really going out on a limb, I know, but what if? What if you really could live a long life and be satisfied? I mean, what if?
Yeah.
Why not? Let's go for that.
Yeah. Praise God.
But why? We've been spoon-fed doubt and unbelief our whole walk with Jesus growing up in different things and different churches we've been to. Psalm 92, is that what I said? Verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I guess church is important.
Amen.
If you want to flourish. Look at verse 14. Promise for the old. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing.
Yeah,
woohoo! Praise God. Flourishing in old age. Bringing forth fruit in old age. Ladies and gentlemen, as you get older, be careful how you talk. Your words, nobody said that your body won't slow down, and nobody said, because the Bible says the spirit man gets stronger, but the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day.
Amen.
But it doesn't have to be some miserable existence where, I mean, I see people that are living like that are Christians outside of this church, and I feel bad. It doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
Doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
See, just because it's that way the majority of the time, don't let it fool you. To thinking that's the way you have to have it. Put your blinders on. See, when Peter walked on the water because Jesus said he could, he was doing fine with his blinders on. He was just looking at Jesus, but when he saw the wind and the waves and he started thinking, wait a second, people don't do this. The majority of people that would get up here and do this would go straight down. Well, he took his blinders off. And see, wait a minute, so-and-so who's faithful died young, and so-and-so who's this died young, and most people that are Christians are sick. You're taking your blinders off. Keep them on the Word. The Word says you can be satisfied. The Word says you can flourish in old age. The Word says stop looking around and look straight at the Word.
Amen.
This is your only counsel. This is your only opinion that matters in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Those radical crazies like that are the ones that are going to live long and be satisfied.
Amen.
Praise God. It's kind of like this when raising children. People outside, sometimes even people in church. Well, because I'll say things about my kids, because the Word says some things about my kids. I say every day my kids are going to be blessed, highly favored, mighty on this earth, honorable, peaceful, and obedient. Good eaters and good sleepers, fulfill the plan, arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. They're going to hit the mark. They're sharp children. They're bullseye kids. They're going to fulfill God's plan. When they're older, they won't depart. That's what the Word says.
Right.
And they'll say, oh, you just never know how they're going to turn out. No, I do know. Just because the majority of the world's kids are going astray and off and doing all this, and people in the body of Christ kids are off doing this, the Word is still the Word. And I don't have my sight set on so-and-so's kids, and I don't have my sight set on the world's kids. I have my sight set on what the Word says I can have for my kids.
Amen.
I keep the blinders on, ladies and gentlemen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. That'll give a flutie-tootie what everyone else wants to do. I'm just going to stick with the Bible. Amen. Listen, I don't care. If I have to be the only one on planet Earth standing on the Word of God, I'll do it. You know, I've never minded being alone. I've always enjoyed not having a lot of people around. Oh, you just love hearing that, right? Boy, what a nice pastor we have. I'm just talking naturally. Big crowds I don't enjoy it. I think the only thing that stopped me from doing this, it wasn't the call of God. It's because I can't grow a beard. But I think if I could grow a beard, I'd grow a huge one and just go live in the mountains. But you can't live in the mountains without a huge beard. So I would forever be out of place in the mountains by myself. So you stuck with me. It had really nothing to do with the call of God on my life. It had everything to do with, what's going on here? It just doesn't seem to work. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 103. Yeah, that's where we want to go. We're almost done. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He's warning you, don't forget them. Well, to forget something, you got to know about them first, so you better first know about them. He says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now notice this. This is going to help you. Who healeth, what's the next word? All. All your what? Diseases. Verse 3. Thank you. Heals all your diseases. Now, this is what's going to help you with that verse. You have a Father who says, I will heal all your diseases. He says, the answer to your diseases is my healing. Okay? Well, where people get out of faith is the fear of what the doctors say to them when they look stuff up online or what they've heard from other people. When they hear a name like cancer or you know, whatever sickness you can put in there would cause you to tremble, or maybe something you've had. This verse absolutely can obliterate all fears of what they're saying you have or what they're saying you might have. Because the word all trumps any name that the doctors can say or that you can imagine in your mind or that you can look up on the computer. It still falls into being healed of all.
That's right. Amen.
Cancer is not so scary when the answer is all.
That's right.
Yes, they can say something, and yes, they can say this about diabetes, whatever you're facing. They can say there's no cure and there's this is going to happen, it's going to turn into this, and this disease has a name. Oh well, there's still all. It fits into all. Praise God. If you get your faith in the all, instead of the faith, see, you've been listening to too much and looking up too much and imagining too much. Remember all those mental exercises we talked about last week, looking it up online, calling people, talking to people, reading things over and over, how bad it is, hearing other people say, oh, and this person had, oh, you're in trouble. You're doing too much of that instead of having your faith in the all, though, healing God.
Right.
If you put as much effort into doing that, when things would come, and I'm not saying that they're not alarming to your flesh, I'm not saying that, but your response and how you push back is everything. Hallelujah. All trumps everything. Psalms 105, verse 37. And we're going to go to one more place after this and we're done. Psalms 105. I guess there's healing in the Old Testament. Which means we can have healing in the New Testament. Psalms 105 and verse 37. He brought them forth, talking about the children of Israel, also with silver and gold. Prosperity for the Old Testament saints. That means you can be brought forth with silver and gold. And he said, now this is crazy, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. He said, when I brought them out, every single one of them was well in their body. What's he saying? I don't want one feeble person in my body today. He said, if I don't want one feeble person back then, you say, well, then why is people feeble? I don't know. Why do people not have faith to receive? Why do people not do what God said to do? I don't know the answer to that. Praise God. Now, again, let me qualify that, because if you're facing something, doesn't mean you brought it upon yourself. But if you brought it upon yourself, or if you didn't bring it upon yourself, the answer is still the same, faith.
That's right. Amen.
The answer is still the same, faith. Praise God. Luke 13 and verse 11. Let's see what Jesus said about the Old Testament and healing. And we'll shut it down after this. Told you to get a little teachy, but we threw some preachy in there.
Yeah. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Luke 13 and verse 11. It's good food tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The healing bread of the word.
Hallelujah.
And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, sickness, 18 years, and was bowed together, and could no wise or way lift herself up. When Jesus saw her, he called unto her and he said unto her. Now remember, this is before he died on the cross. So even though this is New Testament, it's really Old Testament. You understand what I mean by that? This is found in the New Testament, but it's still Old Testament times. All Old Testament times is anything before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He said, called unto her and said to her, woman, you're loose from this infirmity. Verse 13. He laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them, therefore come and be healed. And not on a Sabbath day. I mean, you talk about religion rearing its ugly head. Why aren't they jumping for joy that a woman who struggled for 18 years is healed? I saw parents in a youth group service where a daughter got supernaturally healed, went home crying, told her mom and dad, I can hear. We never saw her again. They were so mad that we could believe in that healing business. I mean, you think, what in the world? But this is what happened there. See, that's crazy. I know that is crazy. Lord answered and said, you hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? He's saying, don't you do something good on the Sabbath that's not just sitting around doing nothing? Now look at verse 16. Ought not this woman. He's saying, ought not this woman. Now, why is he saying this? Being a daughter of Abraham, what's that mean? Old Testament covenant. What's the part of the Old Testament covenant? The right to be healed. Ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, now notice this, whom Satan has bound, Jesus was smart enough to know that God did not give you ADD, that God did not kill your little baby. At least Jesus was smart enough to know. The radio and a lot of Christian singers and a lot of preachers and a lot of biochrists, they're not smart enough to know, but Jesus was smart enough to know that Jesus was, that God was the healer, that devil was the sickness giver. Who has Satan has bound these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? He's saying, ought not. He's saying, of course she should be healed. She's part of the Old Testament covenant. Yeah. Yeah. And you ought to walk around saying, of course I should be healed. Right. The Old Testament people had it, and I'm a child of God. Amen. Of course I should be healed. Of course I should be whole. Right. There ought to be nothing wrong with me. Head to toe, perfect healing.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Ought not. Ought not. That's an attitude of, you're darn right I ought to be healed. I'm not going without. That's somebody that knows who they are and what belongs to them. Amen. If you're sitting here all mad at me, and I'm going to tell you why I'm saying that, because there is happening right now in the service. Indignation, anger at this message. You better get your mind renewed. It's going to cost you years on your life. I'm just telling you. You sit there mad. Oh, I'm just this healing. He stands up there so bold. And you call it arrogance and you call it cockiness. I call it knowing what belongs to me and receiving it. Praise God. And I'm warning you that if you don't change your attitude by the Spirit of God, it will cost you years on your life. You know who you are. Praise God. And so do I. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Lord reveals it to me. Sometimes He doesn't. But it's a warning to you to spare you. You need to renew your mind on healing. I'm not trying to be mean. If I was mean, I'd call your name out, and I never would do that. But He's trying to spare you that you need to renew your mind. Now, if I look at you, I'm just looking at, let's look at everybody right now. So everybody knows I'm not talking about that.
Oh, praise the Lord.
He's trying to spare you.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
He wants you to live long, but you sit there mad and angry. Well, either you're going to believe the Bible or you're not. You're going to believe the Bible or you're not, or you'll die younger, way younger than you should have. Amen? Well, that's a great place to close. Wow, so encouraging. But it is encouraging. God loves people enough to say things like that. And that's why you ought to pray for your pastor to have boldness, because stuff like that will save people's lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You, You're the healer. Thank You, You're the healer. Thank You, You're the healer. Thank You, healer. Oh, thank You, healer. If you're sick in body, you ought to walk around your house saying, thank You, healer. Thank You, healer. I ought to be healed. I'm Your child. Oh, I thank You. My body's healed and whole from head to toe. Father, I thank You. I live long, healthy, wealthy, protected, and strong. Not sick, broken, danger, or fear a day of my life. All the days of my life are filled with health, praise God. With long life, You satisfy me, praise Your name. All sickness and disease are gone from me, praise God. I walk in health, nothing out of order, nothing out of whack. Praise Jesus forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the great physician. Oh, Father, You're the best doctor that ever was. Hallelujah. You have all the answers. You have all the medicine. You have all the cures. Oh, praise His name forevermore. Praise His name forevermore. Praise His holy healing name forevermore. You are the healer. You are the healer. You are the healer. Praise God. Praise God. You are the healer. You are the life giver. You are the sickness taker awayer. Praise God. That's who You are. You take sickness away from the midst of us. You heal all that are oppressed. It's in Your very covenant name. It's in Your nature. It's who You are. You can't run from it. You can't escape it. You are a healer. It is stuck to you for eternity. That is a label that is forever. If you walked up to God at a new job and everyone had name tags on his name tag, it would say Jehovah Rapha. And they'd say, what in the world does that mean? It means I'm your healer. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. We bless You tonight. We bless You tonight. We love You. We love You. We love You. We love You so much. Father, we bless You tonight. And Lord, I thank You for Jesus saving us. I know everybody in here is born again, but I don't know about everybody listening now or in the future. If you are listening, you say, I'm not born again. I've never accepted Jesus, but I sure would like to be healed. Well, it first starts at the cross and getting saved. Because then once you get saved, you become a child of God and healing belongs to you. So if you're listening, you can say, I don't think I've ever asked Jesus into my heart. I believe in him. I believe he died and rose again. But I've never officially asked him to come in. Well, you need to do that. He's not going to. I always say this. Jesus is the gentleman, not the SWAT team. The SWAT team barges down the door. Jesus knocks. Can I come in? Let me in. I want to come in. You got to open the door, though. So if you're listening, you say, I've never done that. Well, all you got to do is this. You say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come on in. I invite you in. Now, if you do that, oh, he will come in so fast. Take up residency in your life. Begin to change you. And then your next step is to find a Bible-teaching church with a pastor who will teach and preach the Word of God. We'll show you all the good things God's provided for you, and you'll walk into greater. Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you are doing and all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close tonight right there. Thank you so much for coming out. I trust you were blessed. Amen. We'll see you all Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.
See the anointing fall, when fall, when fall, when fall.